Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get to this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and read our podcast and leave us a comment or two. Now, without further delay, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner, who's a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner, Podcast Crime. Reg, what is the deal? Extra pimping.
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's happening with you?
Man, you know how it is, man. We're just trying to make it through August without getting shot.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This shit is crazy out here, man. It's crazy.
Your local Walmart, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, you go to get a motherfucking weed eater and shit. And you
won't make it back.
Make it back. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. So, what we got going on today, man?
Talking about some couple of current event stuff, man. See what's going out here in the world a little bit, you know?
Yeah,
man. Touch on some things.
Yeah, you know, we definitely gonna talk about that. Talk about the senseless bullshit in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas. Man, it boggles my mind, man. It really just fucking boggles my mind. But we're gonna get to that, man. But first we're gonna talk about, we're gonna have a little sports today, because you know people always say, oh man, you don't talk sports or politics. It's always sports and politics.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't, even though we did a whole show about top 10 NBA players.
Yes, we did. Maybe that's not the kind of sports. Maybe they just want us to, you know.
I mean, I'm like, motherfucker, watch sports.
Your first take or whatever.
If it's what you want.
Like,
I mean,
ESPN.
I mean, that shit is, I don't have time to fight. That shit is so dynamic. I don't have time to chase that shit. We got bigger fish to fry. Don't worry about who.
Right, we can talk sports, but, yeah, but that's, as long as you get the picture with it, you know?
Right, exactly.
Gotta be something bigger.
But what was real interesting, though, is the NCAA, though, man, on some real racist shit. Because, you know, we like talking about racist-ass white people, because that's just... This is your first episode, and go check the previous 43. You'll understand that this
check
is...
Check the catalog out.
Right, so... You know, we like calling out that racist bullshit, man. So we're going to talk about that real quick, man. You know, they talk calling it the Rich Paul rule, where in order to be, was it certified to have contact with a, you know, intercollegiate athlete, you had to have
a bachelor's degree.
And
that's like 4 years in school, which you don't have to have. You don't need a bachelor's degree to do that, of course. To do that level of work. So, you know, that's just a means, that's educational racism. You want to just give it a title. And the other, I think you had to, I think it was three prongs to it. And one of them was you had to have some type of certification from the NBPA, the Players Association, which I think was something new. And of course, what they're saying is, you know, hey, we want our players to have the best of the best, you know, the people who know what they're doing and not just people who want to be agents and out here just trying to hustle and get players, you know, and we all can see through it. Right. I mean, we
yeah,
see
some
that
racist shit, man. I mean, some real,
I mean,
racist shit.
We see, you know, it's just like, you know, we're talking about NBA players that the show we had before. On top 10, I'm thinking about Wilt Chamberlain and with Bill Russell, right? They changed the game in the 60s because of them, because of their dominance, so the white boys can win. Same thing here. They changing the game so white boys can win. So, you know?
Yeah, and you know what's funny, man? And, you know, I didn't really follow this very, very closely until it really started popping up, you know, on my news feed and stuff like that. What's really curious about this whole thing is the intimation that a four-year college degree is going to make someone more trustworthy,
right,
when dealing with the interests of a student athlete than somebody that doesn't have. And if history has proven anything, is that the most dangerous person on the face of Earth is a white dude.
Yeah, true.
I mean, educated or not. You know, so, and if it's another thing that we know is that they're going to cheat. They're going to cheat the system whatever way they possibly can.
Yeah.
It's like, this shit is irrefutable. You can call me, you know, biased, prejudiced, whatever. You can't call me racist because black people can't be racist. You can call me whatever you want, but the shit is fact. You know, white dudes will try to skirt the system any way they possibly can. This shit is right. And it's not an exclusive club. Black people do it too. But what I'm saying is, in the context of this particular ruling, to try to come off so high and mighty that you're like, hey, if you don't have a four-year degree, you're not really qualified to have the best interest of these students. And I mean, it's some bullshit.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Because this is the same organization that's pimping the hell out these black kids, man.
Dude, killing them.
I mean,
killing
them. I mean, making money.
It's criminal. Fist.
It really is criminal. So, you know, they did subsequently come back on some real bitch ass shit and amend it, stating that you didn't necessarily have to have a bachelor's degree as long as you were in good standing
with the NBPA.
With the NBPA, which is the, what is NBPA?
National Basketball Players Association.
Yeah, Players Association. So, you know, on some real bitch ass shit, you know, like, oh, we didn't know y'all was going to get mad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean,
and so it was really, this goes to show you that if, you know, if nobody has said anything about this shit.
Yeah.
You know, and don't get me wrong, this is real high level. You know, all these motherfuckers, Rich Paul's a fucking millionaire. However many times over. He ain't going to be hurting whether or not they stuck with the shit or not. But it's the principle behind the shit. Because if, you know, if they play these games at this particular level, you know, on the lower levels, that, you know, we are affecting it by a lot of different decisions that take place. That's why we want to highlight this shit, is that, you know, at every single turn, it's absolutely paramount that we point out this bullshit.
Right. And it's good that at least LeBron took a stance, or, you know, at least had something to say immediately.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing that LeBron always does, though.
Yeah. I mean, because if he didn't say anything, it probably wouldn't have taken the turn that it did. You know, because, you know, LeBron can, you know, he's powerful, and people listen to him, and so, you know, perhaps, you know, that had,
to me,
like you said, at a certain level, at a high level,
right,
he probably had some discussions like, hey, you know, if this changes, you know what, I'm starting to change my tune, who knows,
right,
you know, I don't know exactly what things that were said, but
the, you know, we had a show. It was called HBCUs. I think it was episode maybe
like three,
something like that. You know, this was last year where we talked about the importance of HBCUs. Are they still relevant? The culture, things of that nature. And I kind of went on a rant, man, where I said that, you know, if you run a 4.3 40, it doesn't matter if you're at Alabama or if you're at Alabama A&M, that 4.3 is still a 4.3.
Right.
And even more so now, man. I felt that way then because, you know, I'm an emotional dude. So it's like, I was really passionate about this shit then, even though I graduated from PWI. I'm even more passionate about this shit now that the NCAA tries to, you know, pull this okey-doke bullshit. Man, it's paramount that we start sending our kids to these historically black colleges and universities to preserve the culture and to cultivate the future of academics and athletics. Because if you're a genius, man, it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to succeed. If you're a great athlete, it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to succeed. If we move in droves, if we move in multitudes, the game is going to go wherever we go because we are the product.
That's right.
We have been the product.
Yeah.
You know, once they realize that, you know, that the one hand dribbling and the two hand chest pass couldn't sustain itself. You know, we became the product, just like we were the product, man, when they brought us over here, man. So,
yeah, and I told you earlier, man, I bought a t-shirt recently that said, "We don't need their approval." And that sort of fits into what you're saying, is we need to sort of control our own narrative, really, right, in everything, but
right,
particularly in making decisions for our education and, you know, sports and whatever field we or endeavors that we intend to go after.
Right.
And those HBCUs, although I know there's a lot of work that needs to be done in them. They're considered lower resource institutions by the NCAA. And so why not help those institutions that need the most help?
Right. And the only reason why they're considered that is because they don't generate the revenue.
Right.
Like, say, for instance, that Ohio State does, you know,
Morgan State does not
generate the same amount of money that Ohio State does.
Correct.
So I got to ask the question, man, of like, how is it really going to help shift the balance of power? And I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to be a real quick example. Then we're going to move on. Say, for instance, you got Alabama, you got Ohio State. Who else is up?
Clemson.
Clemson, Georgia, all these SEC, ACC teams. You know, pick teams.
Just pick a team. You
know, we're just talking about football. Let's just talk about football. This is the thing. The number one team in the country right now, defending national champion, is Clemson. Right down the road.
Yep.
All right. Got some of the best facilities on the face of the earth. They're in the ACC.
Right? Yeah.
All right. When's the last time Virginia won anything?
In football? Virginia?
In football. Because no, I know the nothing. National champs in basketball.
Yeah, don't remind me, but yeah.
Nothing really, right?
Nothing, yeah.
Have you seen their facilities though?
No, but I'm pretty sure it's tight.
It blows any HBCU away.
Yeah.
My point being is that you go to the Pac-10, Oregon has the best facilities on earth, probably.
Oh yeah. I've seen pictures of there.
But
locker room.
But Arizona State ain't starving either.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
And Appalachian State didn't. So, I mean, you can even go as lower as that. Yeah.
So, I say that to say this, and I'm going to try to be as quick as possible. That happened over time because all of our athletes in different classifications, you got your top tier athletes, you got your blue chips. That's going to be Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama. You got your next tier. That's going to be Georgia. That's going to be, even though Georgia's highly competitive, you know, you got your next tier. You got your other tier. You got your fourth tier. That's where the people from, you know, they're going to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's a private school. You can work anywhere in the world with a Vanderbilt degree.
Right.
You've seen their facility. Kills anything.
Yeah, they're an SEC school, so they're going to get funding.
In the same city as Tennessee State.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but they get the athletes to generate the revenue.
Right.
They're part of a conference that gets the revenue. Okay.
That's right.
That happened over time. That didn't happen overnight. If we start sending our kids, whether it's from an academic perspective or an athletic perspective, over the course of a generation, we shift that to where we're making all the money. We can retain those earnings and put it back into the facility. We can use that money to recruit even more.
Yeah, it's an economic engine.
It just takes time, though. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And there has to be people willing to make that sacrifice. And to say that you can't make it from an HBCU to play any professional sport is just absolutely crazy. Because if you're good, you're good.
Right.
Period. People just have to start taking a chance. But anyway, moving on, man.
Now, I know we're on a current events show.
Yeah.
But I will say just real quick, we will have another HBCU show. There's some things that I want to sort of piggyback off of what is being said as well.
Okay.
Sort of carry on. Just
You heard
just a little future show.
We about to get it crunk again.
Some gems I want to drop. So
we gonna play the marching band. We had a marching
band. Hey man, it's gonna be a surprise.
I mean, but you got to be. When we gonna do that show? Because you going to homecoming, man. You know.
First time in 15 years, bro.
You got to be
family homecoming. First time in 15 years, man. I'm geeked.
We need video, man. That we can put up on the. Need some video.
Can't wait to kick it with the fellas, man.
On Instagram, man. Red's losing his mind. But nonetheless, man, in the same vein, man, we're going to talk about a little bit more sports and we're going to move off this shit because, you know, we deep into sports, man. Let's talk about this Jay-Z shit, man.
Okay.
He is, I guess it's Roc Nation. He and Roc Nation have, through Roc Nation, he will help produce the Super Bowl halftime show and contribute to Inspire Change, which is a foundation the NFL created in response to the way they fucked over Colin Kaepernick. So it says Roc Nation will now manage the entertainment attached to games and produce exclusive music for the NFL. They plan to help coordinate concerts and do some promotion for the league as well. Jay-Z will also work with Inspire Change on criminal justice reform, education, police community relations, and economic advancement.
Didn't he, I know you sort of looking at an article, but didn't he sort of
say fuck the NFL?
Yeah, Super Bowl last year or so, along with a lot of other celebrities.
Yeah, I believe that, and don't quote me, man, but I think he put that shit in the song, man. He was like, I said no to the Super Bowl, you need me, I don't need you, kind of shit, or something like that.
Maybe he was just,
I think it was on Ape Shit. I think it was on Ape Shit, the song called Ape Shit.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Do you look at it as a just a another power move type of thing?
Man, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. At first, I'm just like, is money going to get more money? But at the same time, I think he has, in his elder years as an elder statesman of the hip hop community, I think that he's laid enough of a foundation with his other work with criminal justice reform and things like that being out there. It may just be, I don't know everything that he's done, but I think it's just maybe another opportunity to use other people's money and other people's platform. Okay. A platform that you wouldn't necessarily expect to put focus on that too. So, we're going to go from a whole bunch of white people getting mad because Colin Kaepernick knelt to now they got to listen to Jay-Z tell them about how fucked up the criminal justice system is, or through the music. I see the move. It's, and he even said that sometimes you got to work with people that you don't necessarily agree with. Hell, I know that shit. I do that shit every day.
You do the best you can do, but isn't Roc Nation going to be co-producing the Super Bowl halftime? I mean, like, how much control is he really going to have? What is that? To me, it just means that, like, he's going to have some type of stronghold or position in deciding who will be halftime performance to a certain extent. So, like, what does that really mean? From a power position.
Power position. Well, I just look at it like this. It's like if you are, we don't know who has to answer to who in regards to, because when you produce something, that means that there is something, there's a show, there's a record, there's a product that is going to be there for presentation. Normally, when you're talking about the NFL, which is a multi-billion dollar industry, there's going to be some checks, some balances somewhere. I think that would be the question that would need to be answered. It's like, who has the final say over what's actually being seen? And is it somebody in control that has the right amount of empathy or right amount of experience with our community that to know what message needs to be sent? Because how many times have you seen marketing faux pas over the past few months of people where there's not enough black people in the room making decisions? So I'm giving the benefit of the doubt, man. I mean, I don't want to shit on it. On the surface, it looks like some sellout shit.
Okay.
On the surface, it really and truly does.
Right.
Before I started reading and really tried to digest it and understand it, sometimes you got to be at the table with the devil sometimes to actually figure out exactly what's going on.
Or is it the NFL's way of trying to massage the whole diversity and inclusion piece, knowing that they've had some racial matters to deal with Cap's situation over the last couple of years? Because when you think about it, it may be a smarter move on the NFL, because you're just talking about music and halftime. And if I'm a racist or whatever, and I'm watching football,
when these white people get mad about everything, though, bro.
Yeah, but I probably could give a shit about the halftime show at a Super Bowl versus the other 16 games plus.
That's when they plus gonna get playoffs. Mad. They gonna be like, "That's no Miley Cyrus, damn it!"
But what I'm saying is, I mean, again, he's just co-producing, but and he's a music, he's a music guy, musical guru in his sense. So he would, it's just strategy in which who you would have perform and at what show and why. So it doesn't always have to be black artists or hip hop related, whatever. It's just probably he's in position to make decisions.
Jay-Z's circle is not 100% black. And he even said that, had he not done business that, with people that he had
And
he didn't disagree with that he wouldn't be where he is, but you know,
that's fine. But I'm thinking, like, if I'm the NFL, perhaps this is some way to sort of soothe some of us who have been anti-NFL, or you know, just sort of protest and say, oh, well, Jay-Z's on board, well, I'll be on board, you know, even though that has nothing to do with player morale and Kaepernick and you know, day in, day out with the players and the game itself. This is just one, you know, microcosm of the whole thing. It's just halftime show of the Super Bowl.
Now, it's more than that, though, man. I mean, it's...
Is it really?
Yeah, I mean, well, like I read before, man, it said that he is producing exclusive content for the NFL.
Okay.
He says Roc Nation will now manage the entertainment attached to games and produce exclusive music for the NFL. So, kind of hijack the system.
Okay.
At least the musical part of it. And, it says they plan to help coordinate concerts and do some promotion for the league as well. Jay-Z will also work with Inspire Change, criminal justice reform, education, police, community relations, economic advancement. And Inspire Change is the foundation that the NFL created. So
they want to be the NBA.
I mean, they're trying, man. And I don't, the NFL is so disingenuous on every fucking thing, man. It's hard for me to buy it.
Yeah.
However, I feel like that if I'm going to give anybody a chance to really, to be in a room with snakes and do the right thing, I'm going to give Jay-Z the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, before I shit on the whole thing.
I'm not hating on him. Let me just sit back and see what he does. And,
right.
But
definitely the benefit of the doubt. He's going to get the benefit.
Yeah. At the end of the day, people are going to ask, how is that benefiting us? How is that benefiting us?
I got an answer to that on the surface. This is a surface answer without knowing what was negotiated or anything like that. I mean, the NFL gets millions and millions and millions of people glued to their sets every weekend without fail. It don't matter if it's the two worst teams in the league playing.
Even preseason.
Right. Yeah. So in that particular regard, man, I mean, there's opportunity to spread a positive message.
Okay.
A community message. A social message. It's that chance.
Okay.
The NFL audience is not the NBA audience, though. You know, the NBA audience is a little bit more liberal for whatever reason. I don't, you know, it's they got their rednecks too, but football is almost like some NASCAR shit, though. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
I mean, so, and yes, we live in the home of NASCAR, and I have no problem saying they're all a bunch of fucking rednecks. I don't give a fuck.
I still want to go to one of them, though.
I've been to a race in this.
You did?
Dude, let me tell you, one of the best fucking experiences I've ever had. But there's 220,000 rednecks screaming at the top of the fucking lungs. Like it's ridiculous. And the key to being at the race is don't sit close. You know how people, I want to get close. No, that's the worst place you want.
Oh, yeah?
You want to be up as high as possible to see the whole track, man. But
I went to a practice, but not a full race.
Yeah, it's
pretty exhilarating feel in the stadium. But
yeah, man. It's like I got lucky, man. I got some seats up in the Speedway Club, man, one time.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. You know, people looking at me like, can you get me a drink?
You had your Confederate flag shirt on?
Yeah, you know, I had my, little bandana on and stuff, you know.
Fetch me some water.
Yeah, they was looking at me like I was the help. I had to make sure I had a Jeff Gordon shirt or something, man.
Yeah,
I can't remember what I had. I think I had a Jeff Gordon. But actually, the Speedway is like really fucking nice, man. And it's a NASCAR event is something that, I mean, I still say y'all some fucking rednecks. I don't fuck what you say. But the event is crazy. You get 200-some thousand people.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's crazy.
I want to experience that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool experience.
Hell of a tangent, ladies and gentlemen. But
yeah,
but still.
You know, nothing inspires a tangent like crazy white.
Yes.
So, speaking of which, these shootings, man, it's getting out of fucking control. I mean, been out of control.
Yeah. What do you say? It's 250 plus this year.
And we ain't even at 250
days. Yeah, right.
I mean, it's crazy, man. And we're not going to give these motherfuckers too much airtime. You know, the only reason why I wanted to touch on this shit is so people can understand, and we need to talk about the fact that domestic terrorism and mental health are not in the same fucking vein. You know, when you have people that are just hateful and want to kill other people just because they're different, that's no different than radical Islamic terrorists, you know, going into a supermarket in the Middle East and detonating a suicide bomb. It's the same fucking thing. What I need an answer for is why white people are so reluctant to call it what the fuck it is.
Because they run this shit and they run the narrative.
They don't want to be the bad guy.
And so the thing is, you know, it's the you know, it's like embarrassment to a lot of people.
They should be embarrassed.
It's embarrassment.
Y'all are raising this trash. I mean, so, you know what I'm saying? Y'all are putting these crazy ass white dudes out on the street. It's somebody's womb is infected.
Yeah, I mean, what's really fucked up is that it's hard for them to call it that. They say domestic terrorism. They, you know, it takes a lot for them to say that, but it's really racism. It's white supremacy. That is the real threat. Years ago, I still like Chris Rock's one of the things he said. I'm not scared of Al Qaeda. I'm scared of Al Cracker. And that's, I mean, that shit was funny 20 years ago. Yeah, and that's really, that's the reality. Funny. I mean, you know, people clutch their purse around brothers and sisters, depending on where you are. But really, shit, you know, I see a white teenager, hey, you know, I need to look twice, three times, like, yo, what's up? What, you know, and we should honestly, what we should learn from that as black folks is how to really protect ourselves. Now, of course, a lot of us are, I saw something recently about the percentage of black families that are getting armed up, taking shooting courses and buying ammunition and guns and what have you, just to, you know, for protection, which we all should do and think about and learn how to protect our families. But we, at the same time, we need to, like, when we're out and about, we need to observe people. We really need to be observant everywhere we go. And, you know, it's little things. Like, for an example, look to see what these outlandish white supremacists persons, what they wear, what their attire is. Like, I think the killer in Dayton, you know, he had on khakis and a black shirt. I could be wrong on that, but one of the two, El Paso or Dayton, somebody had on, and that's like an attire that they wore in Charlottesville in the torch march. And so, like, it's certain things, certain you know, it's a certain swag, right? So I mean, so just be observant while you're out and about. And say, okay, all right, this could be a person that's a threat to me right now.
Man, just get in and get out, man. Quit fucking around in Walmart and making the line so goddamn long, because you know they only got like five cashiers up in that bitch anyway. But what I'm tripping off of is how the fuck that they didn't see this dude come in with a rifle when y'all trying to check me for a receipt when I buy TV.
Well,
you don't see a motherfucker come in with a rifle.
But how do you stop that?
The rifle wasn't hidden.
But how do you? But how?
I mean, you don't stop it. But what I'm saying though is, you know, you got to see this shit coming.
How?
You know?
I mean, if you walked in Walmart, right now, if you walked in Walmart with some headphones and a, you know, a fucking AK, whatever he had, who can stop you from just walking in?
You can't really.
And by the time
I'm not saying that they should have confronted him, but what I'm saying is, you know, from every surveillance picture, you know, that I see, he just walks in casually like it ain't shit. I don't know. I think he may have shot some people outside.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So maybe that person, and you like said, because I don't know how it all went down.
Well, you're saying like in the parking lot?
Yeah, in the parking lot. I don't want to, you know, sound insensitive and shit, but I think he may have shot some people in the parking lot.
Damn.
And then went inside. So that may have happened. And hell, if I heard gunshots, I wouldn't be at the front trying to see what the fuck's up either.
And what kills me is this motherfucker was, I mean, carefully placed in the back of a police car.
Right. Like, oh, don't hurt him.
I mean, that. I don't know what's worse.
But I mean, my whole point of even talking about this shit, man, I don't even want to talk about that motherfucker because, you know, he's obviously, you know, a piece of shit. You know, his parents should be slapped too. You know, but the only reason why I want to bring it up on this particular platform is to get these white people out here, man, to take ownership You know, because you guys always want to throw us in the same fucking bag.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like you got college educated brothers talking on a podcast. You know, you got people out here that are entrepreneurs doing their thing. You got people that are educating our children, black people. You got people that are educating our young adults in college. You got doctors, lawyers, pharmacists. You got a whole plethora of people doing constructive, positive things for society as a whole who happen to be black. But yet, your perception of us is something different.
Right.
Right. But yet, when most of you motherfuckers are going shooting up shit, you don't want to take ownership of it. Oh, that's not how we are. Yeah, motherfucker, that's how you are. That's right. You own that shit. And I'm just saying, if you don't want to own it, you need to check the motherfuckers that you're raising. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers are coming from somewhere. Not everybody's a loner. Not everybody has mental health.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that's some bullshit. So, and you know, I even try to look up black mass shooters.
Good luck.
We don't do this shit.
No.
I found 5 or 6. I'm not going to say their names because I'm not trying to give people no pub.
Right.
But they had to go back to 1993. How many white mass shooters have we had since 1993?
Can't count them.
You know, the only one that I know who was really, really prolific about this shit was the DC dude. He was so premeditated with it. And we had
the sniper.
Right. So I'm just saying, man, y'all need to own this shit. You know, it's not on the rest of the community, the rest of the country, to try to fix this particular issue. It's y'all crazy ass white motherfuckers brandishing guns. This is your fucking responsibility to fix this shit. You know, it's these white people raising these clowns. This shit is your fucking responsibility. I don't care if you're Republican, if you're Democrat. Whatever the fuck you are, you're a badass fucking parent. You know, little Johnny's out here blowing motherfuckers up. What the fuck are you? Oh, he seemed like he was a good guy. Now he's shooting motherfuckers. That's what he is.
Yeah, I mean,
he is what he is. He's a crazy motherfucker because of some shit that you have done to him, probably.
And they've had the telltale signs for years. Yeah, I knew him in high school. I grew up with him, and he was a gloomy dude. He wrote, you know, they showed all these writings and drawings of death and, you know, that type of thing. And I mean, the signs are there, man. The indications are there.
Yeah. And then this motherfucker in Dayton, man, he had a hit list and a rape list back in the day. He was kicked out of school
for that shit.
I'm like, y'all motherfuckers are sick.
And let back in.
And I mean, it's crazy. But what was sick about this particular shit, this motherfucker shot his sister, dog.
Yeah.
And they were trying to put it on the fact that maybe his sister was dating a black dude or something like that.
Could be.
I don't know. But then at the same time, I think that it was a black dude that bought some of his gun equipment. So it wasn't like, I mean, I guess he wasn't prejudiced when it came to getting gun shit.
Right. But, you know, the whole thing with white supremacy is it's a control thing, too. So, for an example, his sister, let's say his sister didn't think like him. So if he had whatever his mindset was, if your mindset isn't like mine, I gotta do you off.
Is this
I don't care
black,
who man? You are.
Is this dude black?
Yeah,
he looks black.
So that's supposedly his.
That was a guy he bought him 100-round magazine and some fucking body armor. And you don't know what the fuck he's gonna do. If you ask me, if Reg comes up to Fresh and says, "Fresh, man, I need you to cop this body armor and this 100-round mag for me," you gotta call the police. I was like,
you sound like somebody who's sane and mature.
You go have a problem.
So you know, you're dealing with psychopaths,
right?
You know, so they don't have that mindset, brother.
It's crazy, man. So, but again, like I said, I'm not, the guy, he said he acknowledged via affidavit that he bought the body armor, 100-round double drum magazine, and an upper receiver for an AR-15, which is part of the gun's frame. All three items were used in the attack. He said that he purchased these items for the shooter and stored them in his apartment to assist him in hiding them from his parents. See, you see what I'm saying? Y'all raising this kind of trash, man. Your son got kicked out of school because he had a hit list and a rape list.
It's embedded into the culture. And people try to put it all on Trump. Of course, yeah, Trump has emboldened a lot of folk. He's encouraged people. But look, it's happened before Trump. It'll happen after
it's
Trump.
It's going to happen after.
I ain't putting it on Trump. Don't put it on Trump. But, and I don't, I mean, put it on.
You have to put a little bit on it, man, because he normalizes it. He doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, but
he doesn't necessarily take the blame for it. I mean, because you're right. You can't necessarily put all of the blame on him. But he is not speaking affirmatively enough against this bullshit.
And I don't put it on all on guns.
No, it's stupid motherfuckers with guns.
Right, right. It's the motherfuckers with guns.
It's stupid motherfuckers.
Because if you take guns away, which will never happen, then people will still find a way to get them.
And this is my thing, man. And I want people to understand this shit. I am so pro Second Amendment that I'm telling you, there will be some shit if a motherfucker tried to disarm me legally. That shit is not going to fucking happen.
Right. And you're not alone, especially it is. And you're a black man saying that, right?
Right.
You think about all the white Americans that are like held to the nut.
Right. And I get it. And that is one place of common ground that I have with some white people is guns. Lots of them. I feel it. But there has to be, there is no need for a motherfucker to have an AR-15. The fuck you gonna do with an AR-15?
Right.
There needs to be levels of ownership. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, because this shit is fucking crazy. But like anyway.
We're gonna move on, but real quick, like with anything, it's about punishment. People would do things as long as they know, you know what, I'm not going to be punished. So I'm going to, you know, if I commit this type of crime or that type of crime, or if I own this type of weapon or what have you, I'm not going to be punished. So until certain things are in place across the board that where people feel like, you know what, motherfucker's going to get me the chair for this, and people going to do what they're
going to
do.
People going to continue to do it, man. So. But all right, man, we're gonna keep it moving, man. What else you wanna talk about, man?
I don't know, some stuff going on over there in China a little bit.
Man, let me tell you, man. I mean, I didn't actually know what the hell was really going on over there. But I will say this. These people got it right. They doing the shit that we should be doing. You know, it's
the protesters.
Yeah, I mean, we protest, but we protest and, you know, and knock out a couple windows and shit. These motherfuckers shut down the airport, dude.
Yeah. They on cold.
That's a cold for your ass.
They on cold.
That's a cold for you.
We march and protest, and the next day we doing the same bullshit.
The next day.
These motherfuckers are like holding up stuff. I mean, you know, we did some powerful things in the 60s and 50s that got people's attention, like the Montgomery bus boycott that lasted over a year or almost a year, what have you, that made some noise economically. But like nowadays, to your point, Fresh, you know, they figured it out. And as I looked into, I sort of read a few things. Hong Kong and China, I didn't realize how separate they are from the mainland China to Hong Kong, even though Hong Kong is in China.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Hong Kong residents don't really associate, they don't really associate with being called Chinese. And so they have really their own, somewhat their own separate state of affairs, if you will. I think China only handles their defense and their foreign policy. That's where they pretty much intervene for the most part, have jurisdiction over. But other than that, you're talking about a communist mainland China versus Hong Kong, which is sort of quasi Democrat. So I think it's, long story short, I think Hong Kong is more liberal. Like, they want autonomy. They really want to control shit. That's what this whole thing is about. It's about a bill, the extradition bill, where they want to control their own stuff. And China is very, you know, domineering. They want to control and handle a lot of the you know, things. I think something happened last year where someone was extradited back to Taiwan or something. They committed a crime, and but they couldn't be extradited back to Taiwan. And I think now China, what it is, Hong Kong wants, they don't want China to feel like they can come in and handle their own shit. Hong Kong really wants, again, their autonomy. They wants their own freedom, from a political standpoint. And that's what the protesting is about, really.
Well, you know, China is communist like a motherfucker. And just like the protesters are on code, the regime is on code, too. It's on some old Trump shit, man. They're calling the protests evil. Evil and criminal is what the state council office for Hong Kong, the guy named Yang Guan, who's a spokesperson for the state council office of Hong Kong, called the protests evil and criminal.
Okay.
Which is supremacy rhetoric. When you got the upper hand and you're like, you know, why are you complaining about my foot on your neck? This is evil. This is criminal. Not acknowledging the fact that your foot is on somebody's neck. This is exactly what communism is. It's like, you know, you can't even Google certain shit in China. So, you know, you gotta, it's a different landscape. I just want to give a shout out to him, man, just because the black people in this particular country could learn some shit from that.
Yeah, they could.
I mean, it's like, you know, you want to protest, you know, up and down 32nd Street and shit, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
This motherfucker took over the airport and shut the bitch down.
I mean, if you think about it, they are really holding on to a code of hold your own nuts.
Right.
Because if you go to Hong Kong, you think you're in China per se. You are in China, but in other words, they look alike and they still have, you know,
separatism.
Yeah. I think there's a motto. It says one country, two systems is one of the mottos there.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, we're in the country, but we ain't really y'all. And so
we're
going to stick to our
guns. People, they got their own riot gear, man. They got gas masks. They with the shits, bro.
Yeah, and I think it's like almost 400,000 of them that was in total protest.
I mean, well, they got 7 billion in the, well, six, what was it, 4 billion in the country.
In the country, I'm talking about, yeah. Hong Kong has like 7 million people, 7 or 8 million. So it's a big ass city.
Yeah.
It's really a city, but they treat it as a nation.
It's
own nation, but.
But, you know, shout out to the motherfucking protesters, man. I mean, we like protests, man, because obviously when you have that many people in their heart, of hearts, feel that change needs to come about, especially when you're up under communist rule. You know, shout out to y'all for doing your thing, man. Black people, we need to learn from that shit, man. Just get on code.
Yeah. I mean, we protest here, but again, we don't do it to
do it like that.
We don't do it to death. We don't do it to death. And this is just over a bill. This is a bill that, you know.
Well, they actually killing our asses.
Yeah, they exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, exactly. You know, I mean, that's
they slaughtering us daily.
Right.
And
so just something to think about. And it's like, you know, when in your quiet time, man, just think about this shit. You know, the motherfuckers shutting down the airport. So when you have people that are that conscious, that's the same shit that we need to be. Consciously, we need to address issues with the same type of force in which we receive them. Because I feel like that if, you know, you kill one of us unlawfully, and then the system that is designed to protect us all doesn't uphold the justice that we deserve, the aftermath should be just as strong as that. Does that mean that you should go kill somebody? No. But what I'm saying is, from a lawful perspective, the force needs to be greater. You know, if, you know, that's why withdrawing money is always a good idea. That's why shutting down a motherfucking airport is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why being on the highway, like, I think, what were they, in Florida when they did this?
Shut down the highway.
I mean, that's a larger scale than what you would normally see.
I mean,
but I mean, it's going to come to a point where motherfuckers need to stop being comfortable about shit. And it's easy to do, man, because nobody wants to lose what they already had to struggle to get. I mean, I get the shit. I really, really get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to lose what you already had. You had to gain that shit, hopping on one leg, one hand tied behind your back with a blindfold, with a dog chasing you. That's what it feels like being black in America. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes.
That sound pretty good.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'd be worse than that.
but you understand my point though, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand that once you get to a certain level of success that you don't, you know, you'd rather try to make a move like Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Than to sit out and take over an airport and might get hit with a rubber bullet or some shit like that. So I get it. But I will say this though. These motherfuckers got a real short memory in China. They don't remember Tiananmen Square, I guess. Yeah. They rolled over motherfuckers in tank. China, the communist regime is about that life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they're already, when people with common sense know that they're protesting for a just cause, the media still says they're evil and criminal. That's how committed they are to their shit.
Right. And you notice Trump ain't really saying anything controversial because
he don't lift the tariffs.
The trade shit. Yeah.
He don't lift the tariffs. He's like, man, it's perfect time for me to make the stock market go back up right now so I can take credit for some shit that I went down a lot. You know, stock market went up like 500 points or some shit like that.
Oh, well, yeah. Went down and it's back up.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all a big ass game, man. But again, black people, man, and that's who we speak to from the heart. Anybody else who's listening, we appreciate you listening, but you know, we're not shy about our blackness or our black motives. If you have a problem with it, fuck you.
Black empowerment.
So, but yeah, man, I mean, if we're going to protest some shit, man, it needs to be with the same type of force.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we can do that shit.
Power move. Like I said, we don't need their approval.
Man, my birthday's coming up on Friday, man.
Word,
man.
Okay, so what's up with that? What's the plan?
I will be in the building when KRS-One performs here.
No doubt.
In Charlotte. Up there.
I hope to join you, man.
I'm going to be up in that shit.
I'm sure you're going to do it big.
Yeah, man. You know,
VIP table. That's how you usually do.
Be up in the VIP.
Yeah.
But on some real shit, though, man. For my birthday, man. You know how motherfuckers do this shit. They say, oh, I'm taking Cash App. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just like, man, you whores, man. I mean, this is
and
like
begin,
asking
you know.
Strangers for Bobby. Just like, just, you know, this that's some whore shit right there, man. But anyway.
So what's your Cash App?
Cash App, Fresh Originals.
Yeah.
Fresh Originals if you just really want to get
them. Yeah, if you must.
No, but no, on some real shit, though, man. I don't want people to send me money like that, man. But what I do want you to do is on August the 16th, which is a Friday, and on August the 17th, which is a Saturday, August the 18th, which is a Sunday, that whole weekend, that 3-day weekend, I want you to find a black business to patronize, or two each day. If you want to give me a gift, that's what you do. Go get your money to a black business. White people too, man. It's like, you don't have, just because you're white don't mean you can't shop eat at a bomb ass restaurant, because y'all know y'all love that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, the way y'all tripping.
They like it.
You know what I'm saying? You love jerk chicken and shit too.
Oh, yeah.
Go get you some motherfucking jerk chicken. Quit fronting.
They like greens.
You know what I'm saying? Quit fronting. And you know y'all don't make that shit right. So quit being a buster. Go patronize some, you know, go patronize a black business, man. Go give somebody some of your money. It may help the community grow, man, because if we're all doing well, you know, we'll all flourish, man. You know, it's enough out here for everybody. But on some real shit, though, man, if y'all want to give me a gift, the greatest gift that you could give me is to go purchase, you know, some products or services from a black business. Let me know where you do it from and tag the podcast, man, at ICBW Podcast, and let me know where you're spending your money so we can celebrate that business. Doesn't matter where you are, if you're in the Charlotte area, Atlanta, Philly, Chicago, wherever. Listen, man.
Yeah, or you can get him some Icy Hot for his old ass.
Right. Yeah, give me some Icy Hot.
That'll work.
Right. But one more thing, man, before we wanted to go, man. You know that that Devil Epstein supposedly killed himself in jail, right?
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's what they say. I'm just gonna say this on this, man. And I'll let you say your thing and we can wrap up. I honestly feel like it was a Dr. Kevorkian type of assisted suicide deal. I believe he paid somebody to come off his ass because he couldn't do it himself. It goes back to the three P's, man, which is power, position, and privilege. Normally, money begets power and position because they're born with the privilege. You can't get rid of. You got the privilege. But white people, more than anybody else, man, have a problem adjusting to the loss of that. That's why when the stock market crashes, these motherfuckers jump out of window.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
Head first.
I mean, just jumping straight the fuck out of window, you know. Meanwhile, we lose a job. We like, fuck it. Let me go hit this Bojangles real quick.
Yeah.
I'll be back up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, we go do it. But that's a culture thing. It's like, you know, they want to off themselves. We got to go home and tell our wives, and she be like, man, get your ass out there. Get you another motherfucking
job. Yeah, yeah.
Different culture. But nonetheless,
yep.
Whenever people are trying to deal with these things, man, they react like this. And he lost all of that. So he realized that he was a condemned man. I believe he paid somebody, man, to come in and choke shit out of him.
Could be.
Because, I mean, how hard is it for you?
You can't exclude it.
You have one of the most high-profile detainees. Supposedly already tried to off himself once. And y'all fucked this
supposedly,
up?
Supposedly, yeah.
I don't get it, man. So, everybody's like, oh, be careful about the conspiracy. No, man, whenever white people are involved, there's always a potential chance for conspiracy.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
And, his ties ran deep. You know, Clinton, Trump, Woody Allen. And you're talking about trafficking and sex offenses. Yeah. So somebody probably got him anyway for that. You know, so
yeah, I wanna see what the client list is, because it's a lot of motherfuckers that are attached to this shit that we don't even know about yet, man. We're gonna have to cancel a lot of motherfuckers, I believe.
And I think Trump tweeted about that Clinton had something to do with it or something. So I mean,
well, you know what they got Trump and Epstein on video talking about this young girl.
Yeah,
then you can't.
Trump denying everything.
Yeah, he jumped. Yeah, but anyway, you know, Trump straight grabbing him by the pussy. Yeah, he already said it for that, man. So, but anyway, man, we'll let you know. In addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Castbox. Also, Podbean, with more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms: Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, and follow, subscribe, and all that. You can also check us out on our website at icbwpodcast.com. That's icbwpodcast.com. Be on the lookout for our new merchandise store that is coming. It's on the way. I'm trying to sell out these old shirts. Man, if you want a shirt, holla at a player. What'd I say? $13, including shipping.
$13.02.
If you want the old design, man, the classic, I don't want to say old, but classic design that we're selling out of, man, look on the Instagram page for the sizes that we have left. If you want it, better get them before they're gone, because, you know, I'm not doing that particular one anymore. But we do have pop coming out. Two pops coming out. But anyway, we appreciate your support in advance.
Be good, be safe, and behave, brother.
We out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture. And we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say. And since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.